Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps host with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but my two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off-limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Tuesday, February 11th.
Happy February?
This is the best Snacks Daily we've ever done in February.
Our first story, the company behind Burger King and Popeyes, the fast food chains,
know them well.
It just revealed how good the chicken sandwich wars were.
Snackers.
Spoiler alert, they were 34% better good.
That's incredible.
Better than Chick-fil-A. Our second story, the almost unicorn of the day.
You were so close. You were so close,
Brandless. It's called Brandless. Excuse me. Uh-huh. It was called Brandless.
Excuse me. They don't have a brand, but they are a brand, but they're called Brandless?
The startup Brandless, backed by SoftBank, that wanted to eliminate brands by having just one brand.
Now it's shutting down.
And it has brand self-anxiety.
Jack, third and final story, what do we got?
Coronavirus. 2 weeks ago, we went over the stock losers of coronavirus.
Last week, we went over the stock winners from coronavirus.
Now we're looking at a critical need in times of public health crisis like right now.
The lenders of last resort. Now, Snackers, before we jump into all that, we got to talk about what's going on with your subscriptions, aka, have we hit peak subscripturation yet?
How many subscriptions is too many subscriptions.
Subscription saturation.
The New York Times and Mint actually dove in snack style and figured out how much the average American spends on monthly digital subscriptions.
Turns out it's, get this, wait for it, $53 a month on subscriptions.
$53 a month. That was last year in 2019.
$3 a month.
The first question, Snackers, are you over or are you under $53 a month?
Are you not subscribing enough? Or are you like, you got kind of a problem here. We need to talk, sit down.
Now, both Nick and I are way over.
Yeah, we have a problem.
This
and
is
we're here to admit
a confessional, subscription confessionals episode here.
My name is Nick and I subscribe too many to subscriptions.
Now, we're mainly way over because Nick and I pay a bunch of money for like high quality news. We do it for the Snackers.
That was a humble brag right there.
It was a little bit of humble
That's how you guys get humble
But Nick,
news.
We do it for the Snackers.
It's true. We do it
That's
for
how we're informed so that we can inform you.
And we both got like Spotify and technically Netflix asterisk. We
thank
do.
You, Tuck, for the password.
Yeah,
thank
we do.
You, Tuck, for the password.
We do bar that, and yes, we're comfortable saying that on air.
We also both have iCloud accounts and Google Drive accounts because our inboxes, we have like 5 inboxes each.
Those aren't like the sexy subscriptions showing up at your doorstep, but they do the job. They
now,
get it done.
Nick's got a couple obscure ones that he wants to shout out.
Right, so I've got a subscription to Thrive. That's how I get my granola. They do really well priced, like
they charge like $100 a year, right?
Yeah, it's solid. And then you've got Harry's, which I'm doing for razors, even though I'm barely shaving these days.
I'm a trim guy, so I don't have Harry's. But my subscription I wanted to shout out is 1 pound
password, Nick, for every single online account. I have like a 37 character with four special characters, three uppercase, one lowercase, two numbers. And guess what?
I know.
One password manages all of my subscriptions.
It's like a Lord of the Rings situation. There's one password to rule all of Jack's passwords.
And then I've got a ghost subscription. Oh. I swear I never paid for a Quip toothbrush. I get one every 3 months.
They just show up. They won't go away.
I don't even want them.
I've got a ghost subscription to Peloton. I've never paid Peloton, but every time I go to a bike and sign on, I'm in the class. I don't know how I'm doing
it. I don't know
it.
Who's paying
Someone's paying for it.
Snackers, here's the deal. Check your monthly payments. Figure out what you're paying for in a subscription situation.
Tweet us if you're over or under the $53 subscription point, and let us know what your freakiest subscription is.
And use this to actually look at your finances, and guess what? Kill the subscriptions that you never use. We've all got a couple.
Snackers, you know we're at Robinhood Snacks. We want to see what your weird subscriptions are.
You're tuned into Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, Popeyes just enjoyed a freakishly good quarter.
And Burger King is jealous. Full disclosure.
Yep.
I have had a double Whopper with cheese.
In the last 24 hours?
No.
Just
in the last
general.
24 years. This was back when I used to like measure my manhood and my weight.
If you didn't have a double stuffed Oreo with that, Jack, I don't think it actually counts as a meal.
Now, we're talking about Restaurant Brands International.
Maybe you haven't heard of that company because it's an awful name for a company.
It's a publicly traded company, Restaurant Brands International, and its ticker symbol, for some reason,
not RBI.
Is QSR.
Doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense.
They happen to own both Burger King and Popeyes. There's like some freaky family history going on here.
Because back in 2014,
great time.
Burger King, which yep. was like its own company, merged with Tim Hortons, the Canadian fast food breakfast
joint. You go
joint.
After hockey practice, not before.
And then after that, 3 years later, they acquired Popeyes. So now it's a little threeopoly.
But here's the weird thing that's going on. Now the company's reporting earnings. It's kind of like if a parent sat down its three children and said, okay, here's how you did over the last 3 months, and we're going to evaluate you and tell the world.
Timmy, Johnny, Davey.
Let's talk.
Let's talk.
So everyone sit down and stop touching your sister, Jesse.
All right. First up is the oldest, Burger King. It opened the most restaurants last quarter in 2 decades.
There you go.
Sales barely grew despite all those new
Not
restaurants.
Not too shabby. You're doing okay. You're like a B student here, Burger King.
Second is the sudden golden boy.
Oh, my God.
Popeyes, the chicken sandwich. Was a quote-unquote game changer for the chain and the industry overall.
Popeyes, you get unlimited dessert and sleepovers any weekend of the year.
And now Baby Teddy, a.k.a. Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
The performance did not reflect the incredible power of our brand.
Kind of sounds like this company is blaming us, the consumers, for the lack of performance of the Tim Hortons restaurant.
They're
chain.
Like, we're amazing. Yeah. Why didn't you dine with us?
How come you're not eating here?
It's not me. It's
you. In fact, it's all of you.
All right, so let's recap the numbers for the three restaurant chains of this company.
Okay, so Tim Hortons sales, understandably, because it was a tough quarter, down 4%.
Burger King rose 3%, mostly because they built a bunch of new restaurants.
Popeye's sales jumped, get this, 34% over those 3 months.
That's one of the best growth in restaurant sales I've ever seen.
If you're curious how they did last year during the same time, their sales went up 0.1%.
Now, this earnings report reveals that Restaurant Brands International latches on to food trends and hangs on for dear life.
They're actually desperate. If we're going to go back to the family analogy, it's like they've got one kid in soccer, one kid in ballet, and one kid in some kind of like trampoline situation.
And they're hoping they all go pro.
They're hoping they all get that college degree.
So the chicken sandwich, the fried chicken sandwich, it was Popeyes versus Chick-fil-A versus McDonald's.
Crazy.
Late
it was like the summer of 2019 was insane.
It was insane.
You couldn't go anywhere without someone with a napkin wiping themselves off.
This was like the Baby Yoda trend of the year, except for food.
I'd almost give Jack the Heimlich he was taking down so many.
All right, so that was the profit puppy for sure.
Meanwhile, Burger King decided to jump on the plant-based train and come up with the Impossible Whopper, a burger partnered with Impossible Foods, a plant-based burger.
I think I saw two Super Bowl commercials featuring the Impossible Whopper.
You couldn't escape this thing.
And then finally, Tim Hortons also went plant-based meat with the Beyond Breakfast Sandwich,
north of the border.
Right.
But they used Beyond Meat, a competitor to Impossible Foods.
Now, here's the funny thing. That Burger King burger, during that quarter when it came out, sales at Burger King jumped 5%.
Apparently not the same for Tim Hortons up in Canada, because they killed it, knocked the whole thing off the menu after it being there for less than a year.
Canadians weren't fans of the plant-based meat. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Restaurant Brands International, aka Popeyes?
Restaurant Brands is a huge underperformer, at least profit-wise.
Here's the funny thing, Snackers. If you're looking at how to compare Restaurant Brands to a rival, look at Yum Brands.
Yum Brands is the Lyft to Restaurant Brands' Uber.
And that's because both companies own three global fast food chains.
Yum has KFC, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell, aka Kentucky Hut.
Restaurant Brands has Burger King, Timmy Ho's, and Popeyes, aka Butopa.
Get this, both companies have $5.5 billion in annual sales.
But Jack and I jumped into it snack style. Yum Brands makes twice as much profit as Restaurant Brands did.
What we're saying, Snackers, is that Yum Brands takes the same amount of sales, but it squeezes more profit juice out of each taco than Restaurant Brands.
I can't get the image of like the aluminum foil grease
in
out
fact,
of my mind.
Twice as much profit juice per taco.
If you haven't squeezed a taco, then you haven't really lived.
Now, the executives at Restaurant Brands, they should be embarrassed.
They should probably hire a bunch of MBAs and a bunch of spreadsheets.
Figure out how to boost sales and lower costs so that the profit is as juicy as Yum Brands.
For our second story, coronavirus keeps pounding China.
And companies there are scrambling to find a lender of last resort.
The key words.
Now, 40,618 confirmed coronavirus cases as of yesterday.
Jack and I just got an update as we're recording this pod that the number of deaths passed 1,000, unfortunately.
Which means that this crisis has been worse for human deaths than the SARS virus.
It is at a point that doctors are encouraging people to do fist bumps instead of handshakes.
Because fist bumps transmit 90% less bacteria from one person to the other than a handshake.
And Snackers, in case you're wondering, Jack and I looked it up, a high five, 50% less bacteria.
Yeah. Handshakes, don't even do it.
Meanwhile, factories in China, they are shutting down in ways that now as consumers, we're all starting to feel.
Snackers, the city of Wuhan is literally surrounded by police who will not let people in or out.
iPhone assembly lines, they're closed.
GM production lines, they are not happening.
Jack ordered a pair of sneakers, no joke on this, he got a note, they're delayed because the factory was shut down.
It's true. Another example, hockey sticks. Turns out 80% of hockey sticks we use in the US and Canada are made in China.
And they can't get these to the United States and Canada, where, shocker, most of the hockey stick demand is.
So that hockey stick company, they were expecting to make some money from sales to the US. They're not happening.
So if you're a Chinese firm, you are desperate for one thing and one thing in particular.
Cash.
Cash.
You are looking for cash.
You're looking at, like, you remember those ads they used to have on TV, need cash fast? It's literally a situation like
your
that.
Your company's been shut down for like a month. You haven't been making any sales and you don't even know when this is going to end.
So Jack and I thought this was fascinating. Companies like Alibaba, like the e-commerce firm, the Amazon of China, it's actually reaching out and extending $3 billion in loans to Chinese businesses.
And they're offering special discounted interest rates to basically help save their economy.
Plus, Reuters reports that there are 300 companies desperately seeking rescue loans worth like $8.2 billion.
These aren't mom and pop companies.
No, these are like the sexy companies of China.
Get this, Xiaomi, which is like the Apple of China making smartphones out there, they are desperate for loans.
Didi, the Uber of China, they need loans ASAP.
Meituan, which is like the DoorDash delivery company of China, they're also seeking emergency loans.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies who need cash over in China?
If you don't have emergency financing, you're basically junk.
Snackers, credit rating agencies, they assign a score to companies based on how likely you are to get paid back if you're lent to.
But you don't get like 650, 720, or 810.
No.
You get a junk rating or an investment grade rating if you are a company.
And they whipped out the high school textbooks. They're doing this like A to F style, essentially. AAA being really high quality.
Yes, anything lower than BBB is junk. Anything BBB or higher is investment grade.
So if you want to get higher than BBB, like BBB or better, you're going to need access to a very specific thing.
An emergency fund. Basically, a rainy day fund in case a business, an economic, or a public health crisis comes your way.
And companies that have these top ratings like AAA, AA, or single A, they have access to these huge savior funds.
Sometimes banks are your savers. Like right. General Motors has a $19.5 billion corporate credit card limit right now from banks.
Be nice.
Hasn't even touched it for 10 years. It's just there just in
or
case.
Or maybe you've got a rich investor like WeWork, which got that emergency bailout last year from their venture capital investor, SoftBank.
You might even have the government as a backstop, like the banks or the car companies during the financial crisis.
Or like PG&E, the utilities company in California, which desperately needs a bailout right now.
And might get it from California.
The state.
Coronavirus is a reminder to investors the importance of a corporate rainy day fund.
Whether you're in the U.S. or in China. For our third and final story, Jack, pass me the grapefruit facial scrub already. What do I have to do around here?
What are you thinking?
The unicorn, the almost unicorn of the day is Brandless, the startup, though, that's shutting down.
After trying to build a brand that doesn't have a brand.
Now it is a company without a company.
Also, this is a SoftBank-backed company. You know
Sounds
what I'm
like a Robert Frost poem, by the way.
You know what I'm thinking here?
What are you thinking? Jack whips out the queen. You know something's happening
here. Another one bites the dust. Another SoftBank company in serious trouble. Although this is the first one officially calling it quits.
Very true. This is the venture capital firm SoftBank that was behind WeWork, Wag, Slack, Uber, you name it. If they raised millions of dollars, SoftBank was probably involved.
And now their website, brandless.com, is thanking customers for 2.5 great years because it's shutting down.
No joke. Jack and I were literally adding stuff into the shopping cart like 2 hours ago when we did this recording. Now we can't.
All right. Brandless was invested in by SoftBank. It was worth up to $500 million. It was a direct-to-consumer brand offering everything you can buy at a grocery store.
If you could walk into like a bodega, think fancy, high class with minimalist colors.
And it didn't even say the name of the company on the package. It would just say hand lotion.
Here is the great irony of Brandless, Snackers. My wife, Molly, works at a brand consulting firm called Red Antler that did the branding for Brandless.
Right. Brandless comes into this company and they're like, we don't want to have our brand.
Big picture here.
Can you give us a brand?
We want to blow your minds.
No, but back to the product. They're all like beautiful colors. Instead of like Brandless taco shells, it just says taco shell.
Right. And they're all using like, it looks like a Vineyard Vines calendar, like exploded.
Apple cider vinegar. Black beans.
No brand name.
Rice.
It's by Brandless. The great irony. So Brandless cut out the middleman to deliver prices consistently when they launched at just $3 for like every item.
You order everything online, and besides like rice, it'll also tell you that rice is vegan.
Right.
And it will label it with any other like things that woke millennials will get excited
about. A big thing Jack was skeptical about was their value-based purchases. So anytime you buy something, there would be at least two values that would like you check off a list.
Cruelty-free, organic, kosher, vegan.
Yeah, CBD drops that were like grown in a rainforest that had friends.
Oh, really? This apple's vegetarian?
Thanks. The tree-free tissues actually like helped grow other trees, apparently.
Now, Brandless's thesis was that brands cost you and me time and money.
So they tried to build a brand again around that thesis.
Let's talk about the brand tax.
Right.
Basically, the marketing, advertising, packaging, distribution, and brand cachet of the top brands that you know.
You end up paying for it. You want that Prada bag? Much of that price is for the Prada brand.
Right. A Gap purse is probably the same as a Prada purse, but you're not paying for all of that brand.
We also would just love to see what a denim Gap purse looks like.
Now, so that's the cost part of the brand issue. The other is the time. Because when you walk into aisle 6,
oh my God,
and you try to figure out what laundry detergent—
I know where you're going with this.
There are 29 different brands.
It's brand choice overload. Am I going Tide or am I going Bounty?
Am I getting LaCroix, Topo Chico, or Spindrift?
Or am I doing all three of them and then do I feel guilty?
Brandless was trying to save you time by offering you one peanut butter.
One peanut butter, that is it. No options, you just get one.
One hand lotion.
Oh, by the way, that hand lotion saved three people from like a storm 2 years ago. That's its value. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Brandless?
With Brandless shutting down, direct-to-consumer businesses are having a reckoning.
Snackers, Casper pioneered the direct-to-consumer concept, for example. Valuation just got halved before last week's IPO.
Smile Direct Club stock is way down from its IPO.
Harry's acquisition was shut down. It's not happening, and the investors in the company that was going to acquire it didn't want it.
And now Brandless is shutting down.
Other direct-to-consumer startups valued around $1 billion, they may be looking at this and like rethinking their IPO plans or even their business models.
This is not good news for Warby Parker glasses, Allbirds shoes, Away suitcases, or even Glossier cosmetics. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us?
Restaurant Brands International is basically a fried chicken sandwich and plant-based burger company.
But Yum Brands squeezes twice as much profit out of each taco of itself, of its company.
Sorry about that imagery, Snackers.
It's a beautiful thing.
Second story, coronavirus has frozen business in the regions most affected.
Bankers, investors, and lenders, they want to see rainy day funds.
Corporate rainy day funds.
Very true.
And personal ones.
Not too bad. You always want one of those.
Third and final story, Brandless, the direct-to-consumer online grocery store with just one brand.
Yeah, I'm Oreos, but we're not a cookie company. We're not a cookie company.
It's going out of business.
Another SoftBank invested disruptor bites the dust. Snackers, time for our snack fact of the day. This one sent in by a guy with persistence, Scott Holbergen from Exeter, Rhode Island.
Scott, you hit us up in December and with a snack fact.
We missed your snack fact
we
on
missed
Twitter.
It. We were on vacation.
But then you tweeted us again this weekend and Jack and I reward persistence.
Scott, you're a great guy. So we talk about big numbers on this podcast.
A million, a billion, a trillion.
Scott wanted us to help understand, bring some perspective and context to the giant numbers.
So he crunched some numbers slash probably Googled this. 1,000 seconds is 17 minutes.
1 million seconds is 11 and a half days.
And Jack, I'll let you do the honors. 1 billion seconds?
32 years.
Oh my God.
According to that math, Jeff Bezos's net wealth is like a bajillion years.
I don't want to overshare here, Jack, but I think you and I are give or take a billion seconds old right now.
Adjusted.
Oh yeah.
Adjusted.
Adjusted. Adjusted.
Snackers, thank you for snacking with us today. We'll be back tomorrow with Snacks Daily.
Can't wait. By the way, this is Nick, and both Jack and I own shares of Beyond Meat, and I own shares of Alibaba.
And Jack owns shares of Amazon.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.